This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 264, recorded live July the 19th, 2018. Are you being asked repeatedly to integrate different business systems in ever narrower timeframes with increasing process complexity? What if you could standardize the way you build these business processes so your team are focused on higher value tasks versus the nuts and bolts of running the processes and integrations? Nintex can make that happen. With the Nintex platform, work flows from person to person, system to system, to the cloud and back. Got a custom system you want to connect with? No code extensions let you plug into systems simply and easily using REST and Swagger. With Nintex, work just flows, so your teams can work smarter, work faster, and be more connected than ever. Try it out for free for 30 days at www.nintex.com/trynwc. Good day, everybody. This is Andrew Connell. I am flying solo without my trusty co-host, Chris Johnson, this week. This is the first of a couple of weeks, really should just be literally a couple, just two, where CJ and I are not able to record together. CJ is on the other side of the world in New Zealand and the Pacific with his family on a little family vacation. Meanwhile, while he is doing that, this past week, I've spent the week in Edmonton, Canada, doing a SharePoint framework class for a customer. And then I go straight to vacation with my family or my in-laws for about a week, followed by another business trip immediately after that. So I'm in the middle of 4 weeks in a row of straight travel. Thankfully, one of them is a personal week where I get to be with my family, but we got a lot of stuff going on. Both of us are in different places, different sides of the world, and it's hard for the two of us to connect. And so we didn't want to go weeks without doing a show. So we decided that each one of us would fly solo for 1 week, and then we'd be able to link up again when we get back, when we both get back. It's kind of ironic. I mean, when I'm actually in Seattle on a business trip or in the Seattle area, technically, I guess I'll be in Bellevue the last week of July, first week of August. And I leave on a Thursday. And Thursday is when CJ and I usually record our shows. Well, he lands coming back from New Zealand or Fiji. I'm not sure where he is. He's in one of the two. I think he was going to New Zealand first for a week or two and then to Fiji for a week with his family for a vacation. He lands on Thursday back in Seattle, in our Seattle area. And I leave on Thursday. And so he's going to be severely jet lagged when we record again together. And well, I would assume he'd be severely jet lagged. I will be jet lagged as well because I'll be waking up after being on the West Coast of the United States for a couple days on business as well. So this is episode 264. CJ will fly solo on 265. So it should be 266 is when you hear both of us probably being a bit rough and the first time we've been able to get together in about 3 weeks' time. So it'll be kind of interesting there. So today we got a little bit of news that I want to cover here. I'm going to keep this episode fairly on the short side. We didn't want to go, like I said, I didn't want to go a week without anything to really share from the news that's been going on. There's been a few things that have been going on. We'll see. I maybe actually be cherry picking a few things and stealing from CJ, but then having a little bit of fun towards the end of the show and just kind of talking about a couple different things that, you know, what some things that are interesting me right now that are outside the tech space, some things that I'm listening to that I think are interesting that you might find interesting as well on a couple different sites and stuff like that. So why don't we dive in and just jump right into the news?
Raygun provides full stack error, crash, and performance monitoring for tech teams. Whether you're a software engineer looking to diagnose and resolve issues with greater speed and accuracy, a product manager drowning in bug reports, or you're just concerned you're losing customers to poor quality online experiences, Raygun can provide you with answers. Get full stack error and performance monitoring in one place. The next time you're struggling to replicate errors and performance issues in your code base, think Raygun. Head over to raygun.com, get up and running within minutes, and dramatically improve your online experiences for your users.
A 99.9% SLA means you're protected from power outages, bad patches, natural disasters, and maybe even a dinosaur attack. Does it protect you from yourself, though? AvePoint Backup for SharePoint Online provides full fidelity backup and recovery, from individual items to entire team sites. AvePoint can run backups up to 4 times a day to ensure your data is secure. Recover anytime you want without having to pick up the phone and schedule restore windows. Learn why AvePoint is the Microsoft Cloud expert at www.avpoint.com.
All right, so let's do some of the news here first. So for the news, I got 3 different items here. And the first one is, I guess it's a big bit of news here, is that it came out on July the 12th that Microsoft is finally giving Teams what it needs to take on Slack, a free version. And then Microsoft is also adding some neat features for video chatting. So this is an article by Ars Technica, and there's a few pieces in this that are interesting, but since this, I've actually learned a little bit more as well. And this is some good news from the Microsoft Teams group. So Microsoft Teams, as you know, or as I would assume that you would know, and if not, is a bit of a refresher to everybody. Microsoft Teams is Microsoft's chat client that is taking on Slack. And the idea here is that, you know, it's the client that's going to bring a lot of things together, bringing things like conversations and video chat. We can also have things like Power BI is, it can be embedded in this into different teams, lowercase t, into different teams or groups. We can also do things like with a shared calendar, many, many different things, shared tasks with Planner, Power BI, workbooks, and so forth. So ever since Teams came out, it had one major competitor, and that's Slack. And you could argue that they're still not really competitors. Companies use Slack, maybe have migrated over to Teams, but there's a lot of things that are still very different with Teams that's different with Slack. And so you don't really see them too much as a competitor. But Microsoft definitely pushes them, and a lot of people, other people out there also push Teams as a competitor to Slack. So Microsoft generally pushes Teams extensive integration with the company's other products, things like SharePoint and Office and Skype, as a major distinguishing feature. But Slack had one thing that Teams didn't have, and that's a free tier. The free version of Slack, though, you know, it does have all kinds of different limitations. It says only 5 gigs of files can be saved, only 10,000 lines of chat can be viewed or gone back and like searched on. Integrations with other applications can be restricted. But, you know, firsthand, I can tell you that somebody who uses Slack every single day, I never found those restrictions. I don't pay for Slack, but I still use it as a free tool and absolutely love it. I see the value in paying for it. I just don't need to pay for it in my business. One of the nice things about this free tier that Slack used to offer or still offers is that Slack had a role that you found in a lot of different organizations where you never saw it with Teams, things like open source development. So it served a role that was really only served previously by things like IRC, by Internet Relay Chat. Well, Microsoft today is changing that. So they're offering a free version of Microsoft Teams that anybody can sign up and they can use. So similar to Slack, there are limitations to the free Teams tier, but Microsoft has somewhat of a different approach to the restrictions that Slack has from their free tier. So unlike Slack, there is no limit of 10,000 messages. Free users can access and search their chat history, and the data limits as far as like file storage is substantially higher. So you can do 2 gigs plus 2 gigs, or sorry, 10 gigs per team plus 2 gigs per person. The free Teams client or tier also supports group voice and video calling as well, whereas like Slack is restricted just to one-to-one calls. So it'll be interesting to see if Slack changes that now that Teams has gone with a free tier for video chat. Now, similar to Slack, Microsoft has also limited some of the application integrations. Well, I'm sorry, I said that incorrectly. The application integrations are unrestricted. So Microsoft is continuing to promote tie-ins with online versions of things like Word and PowerPoint and Excel. Now, there is one limitation, and that is that the free Teams tier is limited to 300 people, where Slack, on the other hand, has no limit, which, you know, I kind of find this funny. If you've used Slack before and you've been in a team that's got hundreds of people in it, or even thousands of people in it, you'll find that that's really where the value in Slack really starts to plummet. When anybody can access you at any time, or use that at channel or at here, man, that just causes a complete nightmare when everyone's trying to figure this stuff out or trying to get, you know, vie for everybody else's attention. So I find this to be really funny, or I find this to be interesting that, you know, this is something that Teams actually, that Slack says, you know, we have no limit here, but Teams has a limit of 300 people. Man, personally, if there's a group or a channel that I see that's got more than like 20 or 50 people in it, unless it's a very short-lived channel, like it was being used just for a conference, I'm out. There's no way I want to do that. I mean, that's just, if it's active, at least. I guess let me say that again. If the channel has a couple hundred people in it and it's active, then I'm out. And just, it, you can't, it's just way too much. You can't stay on top of it. It's distracting. It's, it, you can't get your job done. It just drives you nuts. But hey, that's a new thing that, you know, Teams has. We now have this free tier. There's a couple of things too that they've added to Teams that are interesting. Like they have this interesting technology where what it will do is it's called like a video blurring, I guess you could say. So think about it like this. Think that, you know, you work from home and you use Microsoft Teams and you need to do a video call. But where do you work in your house? Do you work in the kitchen? Do you work in the living room? Do you have your own home office? Well, or maybe you're in like a coffee shop. So they have this feature, and we'll link to this in the show notes. But what this allows you to do is that it's got intelligence to where it figures out where your face is and it blurs out your background. So people can't really tell where you are. Now, that's at least what the tagline says, that they can't tell where you are. But there's little edges around it. You can see where there's things that kind of clear in a little bit until the video or the AI kind of picks in and goes, oh, okay, I can see that, you know, we shouldn't be sharing this part of your background. But regardless, it seems to work pretty well there. There's some other stuff that I saw too around Teams in a Microsoft Mechanics video this week where they talk about some of the Teams like broadcast video capabilities. The video that they did with that, it was actually really interesting. So if you've been on any of the calls that we deal with, like SharePoint does this a lot, the Microsoft Graph team does this as well, where we have these weekly or biweekly or monthly calls, and we've been using Skype for Business for the calls that everybody connects to. And what we'd end up doing is everybody would get let in on the call, but it's not really a presentation. While it's designed to be a presentation, it turns into be more like a meeting. And so you're constantly fighting people leaving their mics open or their mics are still hot so we can hear them walking around in like the office kitchen or some other place like that. We can have problems with the recording of the video and the sharing and stuff. It just, Skype for Business isn't made for that. But I saw this really nice thing where you could create a meeting and you can invite somebody else into the meeting through Microsoft Teams. And you almost had like a backstage where it would show all the different assets that you could make live. So between like PowerPoints or other presenters' video or something like that. And then I could select the different things and see them in a preview, like on the backstage. And then I could like select that item and say, make this live. And I had two different windows to where I would see the live video. And then I would see the backstage video as well as all the pieces going across the bottom for the different sections. It was really interesting. I thought it was really well done. So it'd be interesting to see how that works. I sure hope that we can use that for some of the SharePoint calls coming up because, man, that Skype for Business is just terrible when it comes to reliability and not dropping calls or freezing up or recordings failing and sharing video and to chat and everything. Oh my, it's such a miserable experience. So I really do hope that Teams is going to be able to solve this and we'll be able to start using that in the coming days and weeks. Now, another thing that I wanted to cover here as a bit of news is the general availability of user behavior analytics. These tools have been made available in Azure Application Insights. And these things have been available to us in preview for a little bit of time now. And now they're available to us as GA. So they were introduced at Build 2017, so a little over a year ago. And what Microsoft, you know, took advantage of a lot of taking time and taking feedback from different users and how you're taking advantage of this or how you're using it. What are these things? So if you're familiar with Google Analytics, Google Analytics is really good for measuring the traffic and analytics and behavioral usage and how your audience on your website. Application Insights, on the other hand, has really been more about measuring your application usage. So what's the dependencies like? What's the user flows like? You know, stuff like that. Not so much about, you know, marketing kind of stuff. Well, Azure App Insights has added these things to where we can look at things like users and sessions and events and user flows and funnels and retentions and cohorts and impacts. These are all now available to us in Azure App Insights. And just like Google Analytics, they're all free, but they all get meshed into the same Azure subscription that we have. They also get meshed into the Azure App Insights instance that we have. And we're able to use the data that they slice and dice to not only analyze the performance of our application, but also how users are using the application. So what kinds of things that do we have here? Well, the idea is that when you go into Azure App Insights, in the navigation that you have on each one on the left-hand side, there's a usage section. And for that usage section, you'll find sections for users and sessions and events and funnels, user flows, retention, impact, which is, if you're familiar with like the conversions in Google Analytics, that's what impact's like. So what kinds of things have they done that's new since they first originally announced this? Well, there's a lot of stuff that's really new. What it is that from the ground up, these things are a lot more responsive. They load a lot faster. They're much more feature rich, and the visualizations are actually a heck of a lot nicer too than when they used to be. So we have things like a user's tool. So that's going to be able to tell you like how many people use the application and different features. Users are counted by the anonymous IDs that are stored in browser cookies. So these are all this stuff is still GDPR compliant. It still is tracking what's going on, but it's not tracking who it is. It's just tracking the fact that somebody is there. A single person using different browsers or machines may also be counted as multiple users. There's also a sessions tool, and that's going to allow you to track how many sessions of user activity have included certain pages and other features of your application. A session is counted after a half hour of user inactivity or after 24 hours of continuous use. And there's an events tool as well, that is how often certain pages and features of your app are used. A page view, for example, can be counted when a browser loads a page for your app, provided that you've instrumented it. So it's not guaranteed that it's going to happen. You actually have to call that out. And that's in the default script that you get with Azure App Insights. We can also discover how customers are using the application with different funnels. So understanding the customer experience is very important for different businesses. So if your application involves multiple stages, you need to know that if most customers are progressing through the entire process, or if they're ending at a certain point in the entire sales funnel. Using these different funnels, it's going to allow you to have a little bit more understanding of what's going on. The next one is about cohorts. Cohorts. Oh, it's always hard for me to say that word. This is a set of users or sessions or events or operations that have something in common. So with Azure App Insights, cohorts are defined by an analytics query. And in cases where you had to analyze a specific set of users or events repeatedly, cohorts can give you more flexibility to express exactly what things you're interested in. So they're very similar in different ways to filters, but cohorts definitions are built from custom analytics queries. So they're much more adaptable and complex than what you're used to using. Impacts. So when you want to see like what an impact is, you can see like how load times and other properties are going to influence things like conversion rates for various parts of your application. So it's going to help you discover how any dimension of a page view or a custom event or request is going to affect the usage of a different page view or a custom and effect. You've also got things like user flows. And so the idea behind the user flow is that you can see, you know, how do users navigate away from a page on your site, or what do users click on a page on your site, and where are they going from one place to another? You can see how they kind of flow through your application. And there's a cool visual graph for this. So take a look at some of these things that they've added with Azure App Insights. A lot of new stuff here, and it's really cool, the different things they've added. And you know, if you're like me and you use both Azure App Insights and Google Analytics, maybe App Insights is getting you closer to giving you the information that Google Analytics was giving you or is giving you. I would love to see App Insights improve to a point to where I'll be able to just get rid of Google App Insights or Google Analytics, because the Google Analytics, I mean, you always find they change their tools so often. And not only are they changing their tools, but I find it incredibly hard to work with and to learn what's going on. I haven't seen anybody that really likes it these days. It just seems that everybody complains about it because things change so often. Okay, so the next and I guess last bit of news that I wanted to talk about was the fact that now we saw this at the Build conference, but now it's been launched in a public preview, and it's called Azure Dev Spaces. Now, this is a cloud-native development experience for the Azure Kubernetes service, where you can work on your applications while you are always being connected with the cloud and with your team. So what the idea here is, it makes it easy for you to take your first steps into container development. You're going to be able to use things like Dev Spaces with your code editor of choice, like Visual Studio, to scaffold the artifacts that are required to build and run your code in a container, such as a Docker file. Now, that's going to allow you to quickly containerize your applications. And then your code is then synced to the cloud, where it's built and deployed as a container into AKS. You can edit and debug this code as if it's all running locally on your machine, which is what's really cool about these different dev spaces. You're still running inside of like a remote container experience. It's really cool stuff. This is the thing that if you remember, that Scott Hanselman was talking about at the Build conference when his microphone went out and Scott Guthrie came over and was holding the mic for him. It was pretty cool, but it's a pretty cool little demo that he did. And it's one something that you may be interested in checking out if you're looking into working with containers in the Azure Kubernetes service.
AC's Voitanos delivers on-demand video-based training for developers on the latest SharePoint extensibility model from Microsoft in his course, Mastering the SharePoint Framework.
CJ's Hyperfish automates the collection of user profile information from users in organizational directories such as Office 365, SharePoint, Active Directory, and HR systems. The secure service supports on-premises, hybrid, and online environments. Bring your directory to life at hyperfish.com.
All right, so I think that now is about the time for me to do my pick. So we don't have CJ here, just going to have to deal with my pick, but I'm going to throw a pick out here that's going to be a bit of a doozy on him. It's going to be something he's going to want to have to check out in his own time. I've been listening to a book in the last, week or two, maybe three. It's about a topic that deals with a topic that the two of us are really interested in, that it's one of our, favorite things. It's not so much about space this time, but it's about one of the things that it deals with is the SR-71 Blackbird. So the book is called Skunk Works. It's a personal memoir of my years at Lockheed by Ben Rich. And Ben Rich was one of the guys, he owned a couple different planes, or he was in charge of a couple different planes at Skunk Works at Lockheed Martin or at Lockheed. And what this book does is it walks through, it's his kind of memoir about the different experiences that he's had. And I've paid attention to the different stories from the SR-71 Blackbird, from things like some of the other planes that are out there that Skunk Works has done, which is a very top secret research and development facility. But one of the things I thought that was so cool about this is that they really focus, I'm not all the way finished with it, I got another hour or so to listen to, but they've gone through three different planes so far and three really instrumental planes in the United States military and spy history. The first one that they focused on, or the first one that the book focused on, was around the Nighthawk. This is the stealth fighter and how they built it, how they got the deal with it, how they figured out the stealth technology, and how incredibly powerful this thing was. Another one that they focused on was just the long history of the U-2 and the details around it. I've heard about how they built this thing and I've heard about some of the challenges in flying it. But man, this is just, hearing the details about this was so cool. And then finally, the SR-71 Blackbird, and the fastest plane that has ever been known to man, the fastest plane that has ever, it was unbelievable listening to this thing, listening to the story about the SR-71 and some of the details they did with it and some of the stories they had from it. Oh my God, it was so good. There's one comment from somebody on Amazon that is just in all caps. It says, so good. As an engineer, I found this book to be fascinating. I couldn't agree more. It's been so good. I really, really enjoyed it. If you're into this kind of stuff, if you're into planes, you're into high-tech stuff and the behind the scenes of how they built stuff, there's only so much they can share because it was all top secret. A lot of it was top secret, or all of it was top secret, but a lot of the stuff they did share is really freaking cool. It was really cool. So at any rate, definitely something to go take a look at. All right, so that's my episode for this 2 or 3 weeks that CJ and I are dealing with solo shows. Like I said, it's a bit on a shorter show, but hey, I'm sitting up here in Edmonton, Canada. It's time for me to start packing up my bag so I can catch a flight. And I want to make sure I got this out as next week. I'm going to be sitting on a beach with 16 of my in-laws. Yep. 16 of my in-laws, and I'm not so sure I'm going to get much of a quiet space to myself to be able to record this. So CJ and I were talking about who's going to go first. I think he was going to try and go first earlier this week. It's now gotten to be about Thursday. I was like, you know what? I'm going to record mine now because I don't think I'm going to get much solo time next week. So with that, I'll go ahead and sign off, and I will talk to everybody soon. Take care, everyone.
Did you like this episode? Please tweet about it and drop a 5-star review in iTunes. Word of mouth recommendations are the most effective ways for us to grow the show, and we'd really appreciate it. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or an MP3, and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is brought to you by Keith Ritchie. For more information on Keith's music, head to music.kritchie.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes and the Google Play Store by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. And finally, sign up to our mailing list by heading over to our website and entering your email to interact with us, participate in upcoming interviews, and other cool stuff. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.